Morning of today's daf Sanhedrin, Sadi Ches. We start today at Sadi Zayin Amud Beis. We're at the very top of the Amud. We're starting today with the words Amar Le'Eliyahu Le'Rav Yehuda. Conversation between Eliyahu and Rav Yehuda. If that comes off as perhaps a strange beginning to the daf, it means that you just joined us. For those just joining us, we are in the middle of Perek HaChelek. We're talking about various topics. We spent a lot of time talking about Sancheriv and Nebuchadnezzar, but then in yesterday's daf, really in the bottom of Sadi Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara now is turning all of its attention to the coming of Mashiach. These are the dapim in Chelek, which are the Mashiach talk amongst the Gemaras. The Gemara started on the bottom, by the very bottom, Sadi Vavam and Beis, with a question of Rav Nachman asked from Rav Yitzchak, Mishmeelach Emas Asi Bar Nafli. When is Bar Nafli coming? Bar Nafli is a reference to Mashiach. It is a strange way to describe Mashiach as Bar Nafli, but anyway, the Gemara goes on to explain. So since that point in time, Sadi Zion, and now today's daf Sadi Ches, we're a little bit behind, we're on Sadi Zion and Amud Beis, but we are now in the Gemara, in the middle of the Gemara, discussing the coming of Mashiach. The best way to describe it, I don't know about the best, but Rabbi Zera said it yesterday beautifully. I'm just going to repeat what Rabbi Zera said yesterday, and that is that on one hand we should be looking forward to its coming, and we should be so super excited and ready and be prepared, and drop everything when he comes. In terms of calculating when he's coming, so Rabbi Zera says don't do that. Rabbi Zera actually made the point very strong. In other words, it's not only a waste of time, says Rabbi Zera, but more than that, actually it delays his coming. In other words, three things, says Rabbi Zera, comes when you least expect it. So you lose an item and you're looking for it all over the place, you can't find it. So, and then what happens is then when you stop looking for it, then you find it. In other words, and the Mashiach is the same way. Meaning, you're looking for Mashiach, you're looking around all over the place, where is he? So you're not going to find him. When you stop looking for him, so that's when he's going to come, that's when he's going to find it. But again, that's the rub, though. In other words, the rub is that on one hand, we need to be excited and look forward to him coming, but in terms of actual calculations, so the Gemara says, so that we should avoid doing. Despite all that, the Gemara is going to give a number of numbers in the course of today's daf in terms of when he's coming. Now, even as the Gemara is going to give numbers, you'll see, as we go through the Gemara, even though the numbers are actually pretty pretty exact, there's still room for interpretation within the numbers that are given, and clearly, even though certain predictions have been made, but as already the Rishonim pointed out, we have yet to see it, which again is an obvious point, but the Rishonim already 500 years ago, more, it's 800 years ago, the Rishonim are already bothered by, where is he? Okay, we're all waiting. Amalei Eliyahu LeRav Yehuda, so now we pick it up where we left off yesterday. Eliyahu says to Rav Yehuda, Achud Rav Salah, Chasida, Ina Olam Pachos, Mishmonim V'chamisha Yovlos. So how long is the world going to last? It's going to last 85 Yovlos. So of course we know that Yovlos is 50 years, although quite frankly there is a debate in terms of whether or not Yovel is 50 years and then the Shemitah cycle counts the next year, or maybe the Shemitah cycle actually counts in the 50th year. In any event, we can keep our numbers really simple by saying that the number over here is 50, so it's 50 times 85. So Uvi Yovel Achron ben David Ba, and he says, and when you get to the last Yovel, so then he's going to come. So we are now talking about 85 times 50. So that's the number of years. Now 85 times 50, all right, gets me to what's that? What's that number? It's It's four. What is it? It's 4250, right? Is my math is good? 85 times 4. 4250. Okay, fine. Okay, fine. So right. So it's 4250. So that's the time in which Mashiach is going to come. Now 4250 obviously was, if we're talking from Bria Sa'olam, that's a long time ago. We're in the year 5778. So 4250 is a long time ago. So it's coming during the last Yovel. Now, mind you, by the way, let's just coordinate this Gemara with what we learned yesterday. We learned yesterday that the world is going to be broken up into three periods of 2000s, meaning the first 2000, second 2000, third 2000. Remember, we did this just yesterday. So the first 2000, the Gemara describes as Tov Avo, meaning there's an absence of Torah. And then, right, in coordination with this week's Parsha, I didn't work it out that way, Kadosh Baruch Hu did. So in coordination with this week's Parsha, we are introduced to Avram Avinu. So Avram Avinu introduces Torah into the world. Avram was born in the year 1948, we just said this yesterday, 1948 from Bria Sa'olam. And then at 52 years of age, at the year 2000, so he started now disseminating this idea of monotheism. So that is now the beginning of the period of what the Gemara described yesterday as Torah. So from the year 2000 to the year 4000, that's the second 2000 period, and that's the period of Torah. And then the Gemara says from 4000 to 6000, that's Yemos HaMashiach. So what we learned yesterday is that from the year 4000 to the year 6000, which is the period we're in obviously right now, so that's the time when Mashiach can come. I pointed out yesterday, Rashi said that the year 4000 begins 172 years after Churban Bayis Sheni. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 70 of the Common Era, and so 172 years after that, said Rashi, is when the year 4000 begins. Okay, so with all that in mind, so now our Gemara is kind of like more like pinpointing it a little bit better. In other words, not the year 4000, but rather the year 4250, which again, from our perspective now, that's a long time ago. But that's what the Gemara says. So Amalei b'tchilaso b'sofa. Now, Eyovo, that's a 50-year period, so in the beginning or the end. So Amalei neodea. So he says, okay, good question, I don't know. Kala o eino kala. So is it going to conclude the period of Mashiach, or is it going to begin the period of Mashiach? So Amalei neodea. Once again, he says, I don't know. Rav Ashi Amar Hachi Amalei Ad Hacha Lo Tistake Lei Mikan VeElech Tistake Lei. So the Gemara gives a different pshat, and that is as follows: meaning, up till 4250, basically, don't count for Mashiach at all. Meaning, even though we learned yesterday that 4000 begins the period of Yemos Mashiach, but that's imprecise. Meaning, it's not really 4000; it's really 4250. Meaning, when you get to 4250, that's when you really could be expecting Mashiach. Okay, so according to this last pshat, so at least now we're in a little bit of a better state, which is, it's not a period that came and gone. In other words, now that's open season for Mashiach, if you will. Shalach le'Rav Chana bar Techlifa le'Rav Yosef matzasi adam echad v'yado megillah achas k'suva ashiris v'lashon kodesh. So I found a megillah, I found a scroll, and it was written in Hebrew, and it was written also in ashiris. This takes us back to the beginning of the Masechta. I don't know if you remember, there are two different ways to write the Hebrew language. One is K'sav Ivri, and the other one is K'sav Ashuris. This was back on Chaf Aleph, I think. Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis of Sanhedrin. Anyway, the K'sav Ashuris is the one that we're used to looking at. The block letters that we look at when we're reading a Torah. So that's the K'sav Ashuris. So anyway, so this Megillah was written in Hebrew in K'sav Ashuris. And Amarti lo zu minayin lach. Where did you get this from? So Amarli lechayelo shel Rami niskarti uvein yidze Rami metzasiya. So he says, I went into the Roman archive and I found it over there. The Kasuba La'acha. And it says, after. Now it says, after the year 4,200. Now in our Girsa of the Gemara, we have 91. The Gemara has a different Girsa, which is 31. But the year 4,200 and either 91 or 31. So Shonel B'Yosu Shal Olam, Ha'olam Yasum, Mehen Mechamas Taninim. The world is going to become orphaned. People are going to die through the war of the large water creatures. Man, Mechemes Gog and Magog. Some are going to die through the wars of Gog and Magog. V'ashar Yemos HaMashiach. And the rest of them are going to be Yemos HaMashiach. V'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mechadish HaZolamo El Al Achash Yevatzalafim. But in terms of when the world is going to experience a total renewal, that's only during the seventh millennium, which we already discussed earlier in the Masechta, earlier in this Perek, the idea that the seventh millennia, the world is going to be closed for reconstruction and then opened up again. Anyway, once again, this idea that sometime after the year 4000, meaning, and again, according to our Gemara, 4291, so that's the time when the period of the Mashiach season opens up. Okay, it's similar to what we just learned in the Gemara, meaning we had 4250, meaning the 85 Yovlos. This is not that far off, 4291, or according to the Gaon, 4231. So in any event, again, similar idea. Meaning there is a number recorded in the Gemara, but obviously we're still waiting. Rav Acha bar Rav Amar l'Acha Chameshes Alafim Shana Itmar. Now he says, no, not after the fourth millennium, but rather into the fifth millennium. So in other words, he makes a correction. Now it's not clear from the Gemara whether the correction is just simply on the first number, meaning instead of 4291, it should be 5291. Maybe that's what the Gemara means. In any event, obviously we're past that point in time as well. Tanya, Rabbi Nelson, Omer Mikro Zed Noke Viyorid Atahom. Rabbi Nelson says this pasuk is piercing. It goes all the way down to the depths. Ki od chazon lemoed v'yifach lekeitz v'lo yichazev im yismayemeh chakelo kivo yavo lo yaacher. This pasuk, which the Gemara describes, is a extraordinarily deep pasuk. This is the second parak of Chavakuk, and this pasuk this is a language that's used by the Rambam. Meaning, the Rambam when he formulates the Yud Gimel Yikarim, he says Achakelo. We're going to wait for him. Alpha Pishi Yismamei, even though it's delayed. That of the that ikar of the Yud Gimel Karma of the Rambam is really formulated after this pasuk. This pasuk really serves as a model. And it says, even though it's delaying, I'm still going to wait. And the Gemara says, lo, ki rabba senishayu dar shemad idan idnanu plag idan. Remember that pasuk in Daniel, which briefly we explained the other day. Now we're explaining it again. In other words, Sefer Daniel has a nevuah in terms of when Mashiach is coming. It's going to take an idan, it's going to take two idans, and it's going to take a half an idan. Now, an idan is a period of time. What is that period of time? The Gaul Smith's Rhyme. Gaul Smith's Rhyme is 400 years. So it's 400 times 3, which is 1,200. Add another half Gaul Smith's Rhyme onto that. That's 1,400 years. 1,400 years from when? That's an excellent question. That's an excellent question. But in other words, but Sefer Daniel gave a number, 1,400. And lo karebi sim lai shayah doresh ha'echaltam lechem dimu v'tashkemu b'dimo shalish. And again, the word shalish also refers to some sort of calculation. See Rashi for more on this particular calculation, but also it refers to some sort of calculation. And lo karebi akiva shayah doresh odachas madhi vani mar ish esashamayim v'sa'aretz. A little bit more time and I'm going to shake the heavens and earth. So in other words, again, Rabbi Kiva also gave some sort of forecast in terms of when Mashiach is going to come. So, and mind you, by the way, these are, who are we talking about? Rabbi Nassan, Rabbi Simlai, Rabbi Akiva. These are Tanayim. And the Gemara says that, Rabbi Nassan was the one who said not to do this. Okay, sorry. In that grouping that we just put together, the Chachamim, Rabbi Simlai, Rabbi Akiva. Okay, but still my point is the same. Meaning these are great Tanayim. And yet, what Rabbi Nassan says is, look, as great as they are, they all try calculations. He says, I wouldn't do it. Go back to the pasuk in Chavakuk. Ella, Malchus Rishon Shivim Shana, Malchus Shnia Chamishim Ushtayim, and Malchus Ben Kuziv Shtei Shanim Amechsa. Look, as far as when did we have autonomy, Jewish autonomy? So basically, we had Jewish autonomy, Malchus Rishon, right? He describes the first kingdom. First kingdom is with the Chashmonaim. The Chashmonaim basically had the second temple autonomous for a total of 70 years. Machushnia, meaning Hordus. Hordus was also 52 years. The second temple lasted for 420 years. But even of those 420 years, like for a good part of that, we could say now for a majority of it, right, now that we know, now that we have these numbers, for a majority of those 420 years, we were not autonomous. We didn't have an independence. It was basically like little sections of history. 70 years during the Chashmonaim, 52 years of Hordus, and we're all going to attack on 2.5 more years. Umachusa ben Kuziva shtei shanim amechsa. Right, the Bar Kokhba, which the Gemara just talked about recently. Right, the Bar Kokhba revolt, which was after Churban Bayis Sheni. So for 2.5 years, we had also an autonomy. Meaning, the Psukim are describing those events in terms of when the Mashiach is coming. But let's wait. So that's what Rabbi Nassan says. Meaning, but don't be swayed by these psukim and don't calculate when Mashiach is going to come. The pasuk in Chavakuk, which we just quoted, ends with the following: My, and the Gemara wants to know what it means. My ve'yifach lekeitz v'lo yichazev. So it's not gonna lie. Amar Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonasan, tipech atzman shel mechash ve'kitzen. So Rav Yonasan says it really strong, and that is the bones of those people who are trying to calculate the Mashiach. So the bones should literally blow up. Okay, it's a very strong expression to decry this idea of we should be figuring out the kates. We shouldn't be figuring out the kates. Shai Yomrim Kevin Sheyegias a kates v'lo ba shuvin ba, because the obvious pitfall. I mean, the Gemara spells it out. It's an obvious point. And that is that if you try to calculate when the Kates comes, and then that year comes and goes, and now what? So everyone's going to be despondent. So Ela Chakelo. In other words, our requirement is to wait for Mashiach. Shenamar Imis Mamea Chakelo. And again, because that's the Pasuk in Chavakuk. Look, it looks like it's going to delay, but you still have to wait. Shema Tomer Anu Mechakim V'hu Einu Mechake. So, and maybe we'll make the argument, look, we're waiting. What do you think? Akash Baruch is also anticipating? The Gemara says, yes, he is. And Tamalomar, that's the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, L'chein Yichake Hashem L'chananchem V'lachein Yarum L'rachmechem. Kosh Baruch Hu is waiting as well, meaning everyone's in anticipation of Mashiach. V'yirichi me'achir shanu mechakev v'hu mechakev mima'akev. So wait a second, the Gemara asked the question. So we're excited, and Kosh Baruch Hu is excited, and so what's the hold up? So the Gemara says, so mima'akev, midas adin ma'akev. So midas adin, so in other words, the strict letter of the law demands that that Mashiach has to come under certain conditions, and certain things have to be met, and boxes have to be filled in and checked, and all those boxes are not checked, and what those boxes are, obviously, you know, Torah, mitzvahs, milas, chassanim, etc., etc. But in other words, until that point in time has arrived, so midas adin is holding it back. So v'chim ha'achar shemidas adin ma'akevus anu lama mechakim. So the Gemara says, okay, so midas adin is holding it back. So we have, but in other words, this idea that we have to anticipate. What is the point of that? So the Gemara says, l'kabos char shenemar ashrei kol chochei lo. So in other words, we get reward for anticipating Mashiach. I mean, just for this idea of wanting to Mashiach to come. So there's a schar, there's a reward for that. Okay. Amar Rabbi lo pachas alma mitasim v'shisa tzadikah le'mekabla apa shechina b'chol dara. In every generation, you have 36 tzadikim who are going to be mekabla shechina. Right? There's an expression I'm sure you're familiar with, lamed vav tzadikim. This Gemara speaks to that. Why the Gemara come up with this topic now? Because of the Pasuk Yeshayahu, which we just quoted, which the Gemara now gets to quote again as a source for the idea of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Asher kol chochei lo. Lo v'gamatria talsim v'shisa havo. Those people who are mechake lo. The Lamed Vav is 36, and that is the source of this idea of 36 Tzadikim. The Gemara says, Hini, v'amar rava darave dekame kusha brichu. So the Gemara says the generation that have the tzaddikim in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu is 18,000. Shenamar Savish Shmona Asar Aleph. The Pasuk Yecheskel describing 18,000 who are, so to say, connected with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So lo kashya had the mesakla bas baklar yamiria had the mesakla bas baklar shenamir. And the Gemara basically answers levels, meaning that yes, there are 18,000 people who have a connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it's opaque, it's not clear. And meanwhile, 36, they have clarity. So in other words, yeah, so in other words, you're basically going up from the minor leagues to the major leagues. So in other words, how many people have, have a connection? 18,000. How many people have a serious connection? 36. The Gemara says, v'mina fishi kolahai. The Gemara says, if we're talking about, forgive the analogy, but if we're talking about Major League Baseball, so the Gemara says, 36? 36 is the number? So the Gemara says, it's less than 36. V'amar chizkiah, amar rabbi yirmi, amishum rabbi shimon bar yochai. So the Gemara quotes a statement by the Rashbi. Reisa b'nei Aliyah, I saw people who are able to be mekabel shechina, who have this perception of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And ve'in mu'atim, and there are really not a lot of them. Im elavim ani uvanai. If it's me, if there are 1,000, so include in that grouping me and my son, meaning the Rashbi says, me and my son, Rebbe Lazar, right? Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon. So we're 2 of the 1,000, and mehem. In mehem, ani uvanai mehem. And let's say there's 100. Again, include me and my son in that list. Im shnayimhem, ani uvanayhem. And it wouldn't surprise me if there are 2. Now, who are those 2? You already know the answer, right? It's me and my son. So in other words, the Rashbi says, basically, I can count on one hand, literally, how many people have this really close, clear connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's probably, the number's probably 2. So Lokasha had the Eile Bevar, had the Eile Below Bar. So the Gemara says, once again, another level. Meaning, so of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim, so they have the Aspaklari HaMeira, they have this clear understanding and clear intuition. As far as now this higher level, what the Rashbi is describing, they're able to have not only this clear understanding, but an audience at any time they want. They don't need permission, they don't need rishus, they go in whenever they want in order to gain this clear understanding. Okay. Let me just put a little bit of a pause between the Gemara that we just did and the Gemara's upcoming. Still, the topic is Mashiach, but we're going to, this sugya now that we're starting right now takes us to a different aspect. So, just as a quick review, so the Gemara now gave us a number of ways in terms of how to organize and structure the history of the world, right? The sets of 2000s, which the Gemara discussed on the bottom of yesterday's Amud. The Gemara then talked about when to really expect and anticipate Mashiach. So, somewhere in the beginning of the fifth millennia, 4250, 4291, 4231, maybe change the number 4 to the number 5. In other words, but this idea, this sense that we are in the Zman HaMashiach, we're in the times of Mashiach. In terms of calculating, the Gemara again repeats this idea of cautioning. Right? Don't try to calculate when the Mashiach is going to come. He's going to come. And calculations obviously lead to both delay of Mashiach and also despondency. And finally, the Gemara says our mission over here is just simply to wait for Mashiach. Why? So the Gemara says that there's a certain schar that one gets for waiting for Mashiach. Okay. Ad Khan, that puts a little bit of a bookmark in that section of the Gemara. Now we move to another section of the Gemara, and that is, do we need to do tshuva in order for Mashiach to come? So if you do your Rambams and you do Hilchos Tshuva, so in the seventh parak of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam says, yeah. Yeah, the only way that the goal is going to come is only with tshuva. Tshuva has to be done. There has to be a mass tshuva movement amongst the Jewish people in order for Mashiach to come. What we're going to see in our Gemara right now is that that's open for a debate. It's going to be a little bit strange, actually, because the Gemara's conclusion is going to be that we don't need to do tshuva. Or seemingly, that's the conclusion of the Gemara. You'll see. In other words, when we get to the end of the sugya, it seems to be pretty clear. And as I just quoted the Rambam says that the Mashiach is only going to come with tshuva. I'll try to address that at the end of the sugya. I heard something on this, so I'll address that at the end of the sugya. Let's see the Gemara inside. The Gemara brings down Amarav. Okay, so now we begin the sugya of whether or not tshuva is a prerequisite to the coming of Mashiach. Amarav kol haketzim v'ein hadavar tov le'elo b'tshuva ma'asim tovim. So Rav says, you know, all those ketzim, right? All those times when Mashiach was going to come. So they're all come and gone. Meaning at this point in time now, what's left? What's left is us. If Mashiach is going to come, we need to do tshuva. Tshuva ma'asim tovim, says Rav. So basically, according to Rav, the only way the Mashiach is going to come is only with us doing tshuva. That's it. Shmuel amar da'yulav v'shiyamod be'avlo. And Shmuel makes a... Now, clearly he's arguing with Rav, and literally the words mean it's enough for the mourner that he's mourning. But in other words, but the mourning period comes to an end. And so be it. Now, exactly what does he mean by the expressions of Rashi offers two pshatim? Pshat number one in Rashi, I'm reading the Rashi inside. So the first pshat in Rashi is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the spirit of Avelus. But again, it's the same idea. Like an Avel comes to an end, like Avelus comes to an end, so too the Gullus is going to come to an end, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring it about. And Rashi says a different pshat, but not much different. It's just who's the Avel? Lishna Achrina Dayal Avel Dayan Li Yisrael Tsar Galus Afilu Belo Tshuva Nigalan. We're the ones who are in Avelus. Either way, meaning if it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu or if it's us, anyway, the idea is still the same idea. Avelus comes to an end. The Gullus will come to an end, whether or not we do tshuva or not. By the way, this idea that who's the Avel? So this last week's parsha, Parsha's Noach. So remember, the flood was delayed by 7 days. So why was it delayed by 7 days? So Rashi famously brings down that because Mr. Shalach died, and there was a period of Avelus, 7 day Avelus period for Mr. Shalach. There is another pshat. Please forgive me. I don't remember who said it. So, but I know it's out there, and it's there's another pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in Avelus, meaning knowing that he's going to destroy the world, so he sits in Avelus. Now, granted, he sits in Avelus before everybody dies, but being that he's omniscient and he knows that everyone's going to die, so he has that. You know, he has that benefit of knowing in advance, so therefore he sat Shiva before the, before. That's, you know what, I feel so bad because I had it in terms of who said it. Okay. I'm sorry, I forget. Anyway, so the, but it's similar to this Rashi we just learned, meaning who's the Avo? Anyway, so seemingly what we have now is a very basic machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, whether or not Tshuva and Ma'asim Tovim is a prerequisite to the coming of Mashiach. Rav says it absolutely is, and Mashiach will not come without Tshuva Ma'asim Tovim, and Shmuel disagrees. To which the Gemara now says, Kitanai, that this subject to Machlokas Tanai. Rabbi Eliezer, Amem Yisrael Osin Tshuva Nigalin Vim, Lavi Nigalin. So Rabbi Eliezer says, look, with Tshuva, Mashiach is going to come, and without Tshuva, Mashiach is not coming. Amalei Rabbi Yoshua, Imein Osin Tshuva, Ein Nigalin. Sorry. Yeah. Amalei Rabbi Yoshua, Imein Osin Tshuva, Ein Nigalin. Right, rhetorical question. Really? He's not going to come without tshuva. Ela Kadosh Baruch Hu Ma'amid Lahem Melech Shegzeros of Kashos Ke Haman and Yisrael Osim Tshuva Machzir Lamutav. No, it's going to happen where Kadosh Baruch Hu will force us to do tshuva. He'll put up some sort of emperor who's going to make decrees upon us as harsh as Haman did during the time between Beis HaMikdash number one and Beis HaMikdash number two, and is going to force our hand to do tshuva. Meaning, we won't initiate the tshuva, but tshuva is going to happen. Now, here is where the Gemara gets a little bit fuzzy. Because clearly what the Gemara is doing is breaking down the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel to the same machlokas as Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Where Rabbi Eliezer clearly is siding with Rav. That in order for Mashiach to come, we need to do tshuva. Now, here's where it gets a little bit hazy, because according to Shmuel, we don't need to do tshuva, and seemingly his complementary position is that of Rabbi Yoshua, but Rabbi Yoshua also agrees that tshuva is going to happen, it's just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to force our hand. So, basically, we have to kind of almost like revisit Shmuel's position. Shmuel says no tshuva, so maybe what Shmuel means is that not no tshuva, but we don't have to initiate the tshuva. Okay, that's certainly a possibility. But clearly, Rabbi Yoshua says there will be tshuva. It's just that Kosh Baruch Hu is going to force our hand. Tanyirach, the Gemara quotes another brisa on this topic. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Misol Sim Tshuva Negalim Shenamar Shuva Banim Shavavim Arpa Mishuvo Seichem. So basically, we're going to have now psukim going back and forth throughout Tanakh, and this debate whether or not we need to do tshuva for Mashiach to come, is, as we're going to see, is really almost like a steer in the psukim. Like the psukim really go in either direction on this issue. So first, Rabbi Eliezer opens up the discussion by quoting the pasuk in Yirmiyahu that says that we're going to do tshuva. Amala Rabbi Yoshua v'lo kvar namar. So Rabbi Yoshua says, what do you mean? You're going to quote a pasuk in Yirmiyahu? I'm going to quote a pasuk from Yishayahu. Chinam nimkartim v'lo bekesef tiga elu. And the Gemara goes on to explain this pasuk. Chinam nimkartim be'avodas kochavim. Meaning, I sold you into slavery, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu to the Jewish people. Why? Because you're over to avodah zarah. And as Rashi points out, chinam nimkartim, it was for free. Meaning, what is avodah zarah? It's nothing. It's nonsense. And meanwhile, we get involved in it, and we start practicing idolatry. And Akash Baruch Hu for that says, okay, idolatry, I'm selling into slavery. And as far as redemption, it's not going to be bekesef. Meaning there doesn't have to be any currency in order to be redeemed. I'm going to redeem you, even with nothing. Again, this pasuk seems to support the idea of Rabbi Yeshua, that you don't need tshuva masim tovim. Amal Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yeshua lo kvar namar tshuva elai v'ashuva elechem. Okay, basically it's like, you know, it's great when you know Tanakh. Because again, you can just cite psukim left and right. The pasuk in Malachi says that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is only going to redeem us when we do tshuva. Amal Rabbi Yeshua lo kvar namar ki anochi ba'alti b'achem v'lakachti eschem echad me'iru shnayim mi'mishpacha ve'evesi eschem tzion. So Rabbi Yoshua counters with the pasuk in in Yirmiyahu. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, "Anochi balti bachem, I'm your husband." Meaning, and by right, I'm going to take you back, even without tshuva. Amal Rabbi Lazar v'lo kvar nemar b'shuva v'nachas tiva she'un. So the Rabbi Eliezer counters with the pasuk from Yishayahu that only with tshuva HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save us. Amal Rabbi Yoshua, the Rabbi Elazar v'lo kvar namar. So Rabbi Yoshua counters with the pasuk from Yishayahu. Kamar Hashem Gola Yisrael Kedusha Livzo. Nefesh Limisa Ev Goy Le'eved Moshlim. Malachim Yiru V'kamu Sarim V'shtachavu. So the Rashi points out, Livzo Nefesh Limisa Ev Goy. A nation that was worn down. Meaning, despite the fact that you're worn down, and despite the fact that you are a to'ev, you are disgusting, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take you back anyway. Again, this pasuk seems to indicate that there doesn't need to be a requirement of tshuva ma'isim tovim. Amala Rabbi Eliezer v'lo kvar namar im tashuv yisrael nu'um Hashem elai tashuv. So Rabbi Eliezer counters with a pasuk from Yirmiyahu. Tshuva. Only with tshuva am I going to save you. So Amala Rabbi Yeshua v'lo kvar namar, and Rabbi Yeshua counters with a pasuk from Daniel, which is... The period of the Gullus will come to an end. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem you. So this pasuk clearly indicates that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to redeem us regardless. So, on this last pasuk that Rabbi Yoshua quotes from Sefer Daniel, Shasak Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer at this point in time was quiet. Rabbi Eliezer basically concedes you're right. Now, there's a lot of missing points to fill in over here. Meaning Rabbi Eliezer cited a lot of psukim that indicated that the geula is only going to come with tshuva. So what would Rabbi Eliezer do with all those psukim that he just quoted? Why does this pasuk in Daniel, like, why does it end the discussion? Okay, so... In other words, we are only scratching the surface of the sugya. Obviously, there's much more to explore over here. And just as a quick wrap up to the sugya, as I pointed out, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva writes very clearly that in order for the geula to come, so it's only going to be coming with a precursor of tshuva. So the Rambam seemingly favors the position of Rabbi Eliezer, but that's very strange because Rabbi Eliezer and the Brisa we just learned conceded the point to Rabbi Yeshua that the geula is going to come regardless, with or without tshuva. So that's also very strange. So again, there's a lot to unpackage over here, and it's from the Gemara standpoint. If all we had was just the Gemara, seemingly the conclusion is that the geula is going to come regardless, with or without tshuva. But again, there's a lot of psukim that seem to indicate otherwise. The Rambam clearly writes otherwise. There's much more to delve into this topic. Am Rabbi Abba in lecha ketz megula mizeh. Where are there going to be signs for the geula? Shenemar, so we're going to have a couple of ways of indicators, if you will, that the geula is going to come. V'atamariso anfechem titnu pirichem tisul amei Yisrael. The pasuk from Yecheskel gives an indication that when you see sprouting in Eretz Yisrael, so that is a sign that the geula is coming. Okay, JNF should take our Gemara from today, and they should basically use it as their moniker. Okay, so when you see Eretz Yisrael blooming, so that's when you know the geula is going to come. Rebbe Lazar Omer Af Mizeh. I'll cite you another pasuk that's going to be a clear sign that Mashiach is coming. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Ki lifnei hayamim ha'ahem, schar adam lo nichyeh, schar behem ha'inenu, uliyosev lavo, in shalom minatzar. So this is not a optimistic view of this, but still, it's a sign. And the idea is that no one's going to have peace, everyone's going to have tzar. And my liyosev lavo, in shalom minatzar. Now, how do we understand that end of the pasuk that we just quoted from Zechariah, that for those people coming and going, so Rav Amar after Midchacham Shikasa Behem Shalom Dichsiv Shalom Rav Lo Veisar Asecha. So even for those people who are generally speaking experiencing Shalom peace, and that's a reference to the Talmidei Chachamim at the time when before Mashiach is coming, even Talmidei Chachamim are going to experiencing Tsar. So Ein Shalom Ibnei Tsar. So that's what the pasuk makes reference to. Shmuel Amar Ashu Kol Asha'arim Kula Shkulim. Shmuel gives a different way to understand this last part of the pasuk. When describing that this sign that's described in Zechariah, so he says it's a reference to the market. When the market prices are all the same, so that's a sign that Mashiach is going to come. Exactly what does that mean? So once again, I turn to Rashi. Rashi offers two pshatim over here. Rashi says Shkulim. Rashi is on the right hand column. Rashi is on both, but I'm quoting from the right hand column. Shkulim. Shavim shar tvua v'yayin ravachim kedamarn chamishis soveh gadol. Rashi reminds us of the Gemara that we just learned the other day, and the seven-year cycle. Remember, we talked about years 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, where you can expect various phenomena to happen in a particular sequence. And in the fifth year, we learned, Soveh Gadol. There's going to be basically an overabundance in the market. That's one way Rashi says it. Lishna Achrina, Shkul and Shavim, Shkulim Yikarim. Or, the other way to explain the Gemara, says Rashi, is that everyone's going to be selling at a high price. And again, that's a sign that Mashiach is coming. Continuing in the Gemara. We just did that. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Ein ben David ba ad shiz bakesh dag lechola v'lo yimatzei. Another sign that Mashiach is coming is that somebody's sick, he's going to send somebody to the market to go get fish, and he can't find fish in the market. Shenemar, az ashkia meimem v'narosam kishemen olich. What's going to happen is that the rivers are going to become so thickened. Basically, the river is going to flow like oil. So you want to call it pollution, however you want to describe it, but the water is going to be so thick, and as a result of that, the fish are not going to be able to survive in the rivers. Ksiv, now we have an Agamar Basrei, but it can't be Basrei, because we just quoted a pasuk from Yecheskel, Perek Lamed Beis. Now we're quoting a pasuk in Yecheskel Chavtes. Okay, so take out the word basrei, but anyway, ksiv bayamahu atzmech karen lebeis Yisrael. That's going to be the Yeshua, the geula. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will bring about Mashiach. Am Rabbi Chama bar Chanina ein ben David ba'ach tichala malchus azalam Yisrael. Another sign that Mashiach is coming is that we're not going to have any government whatsoever in Israel, not even malchus azalam, not even a little government. Meaning there will be no governance in Israel before Mashiach comes. Shenemar v'charas hazalzalim b'mazmeros. The clipping of all the branches. So there's not going to be, I know we have this expression in English, there's not going to be any branch of government whatsoever. They're all going to be clipped. Uksiv basrei ba'isei yuval shai la'ashem tzvakos am memushach umarat. And at that point in time, because Baruch Hu is going to bring about the geula. Amr ziri amr rabbi chanina ein ben david ba'ad sheichlu gasei haruach. There's not going to be any more arrogance right before the coming of the Mashiach. Yisrael shenemer ki azasir mikirbech alizega avasech. Those who are arrogant and haughty are going to disappear. Visharti bikirbech am ani v'dal v'chasu b'shem Hashem. It's just going to be this poor and impoverished nation, and then the geula is going to come. Am Rabbi Simlai Mishum Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Ein Ben David Ba Ashi Chala Kol Shoftim V'Shoftim Yisrael. There's not going to be any more judges and policing over the Jewish people. Shenemar V'Ashiva Yadi Alech V'Tzof Kabor Sigayech. And Ashiva Shoftach, and I'm going to return your judges, meaning that the judges are absent at the time when Mashiach is coming. Amar Ula in Yerushalayim Niftei Thela B'Tzdaka. Yerushalayim is going to be redeemed, but only through the act of Tzdaka. Shenemar Tzion B'Mishpat Tipadeh V'Shaveha B'Tzdaka. Okay. Amar Papa, Az I B'Tili Yehiri. Rav Papa says that if arrogance is going to be, if we can get rid of arrogance, batle amgushi, we're going to get rid of the amgushi. Who are the amgushi? So often we find that the English word is very similar to the Hebrew word. Amgushi from the word magician, or I should say better, magician from the word amgushi. So the, and Rashi points out over here, the Parsiya mechashrim she mitzaren liyisrael, these are specifically describing Persian magicians who were bad to the Jewish people. And Rashi quotes the Gemara on Shabbos, brings down a machlokas. One pshat is like we just said, that the amgushi is referring to magicians. Another pshat is that they were zealot idolaters. Either way, if arrogance goes away, these amgushi are going to go away as well. And back to the Gemara. I batle dayane, the corrupt judges, as long as we can get rid of them, batle gezir pati. So the then we're not going to have also the corrupt law enforcement. Rashi, a gezir pati shofte umos haolam hachofte mishra b'maklos. In other words, these are corrupt, basically corrupt policemen, non-Jewish policemen who go ahead and beat the Jews. So how do you get rid of them? By getting rid of the corrupt judges. Back to the Gemara, I bala yirah bala amgushi yichsev. And now the Gemara is going to quote psukim that support both of these. First, we turn to the beginning of Sefer Yeshayahu. V'etzof kabor sigayich v'asir kol b'dalayich. So the word sigayich is a reference to the people who are who think of themselves as great. So, and once I get rid of them, so then we are going to have no longer any tormentors, any amgushi tormenting us. V'ibadli dayana badli gezir pati. The second statement of Rav Papa. Dichsiv heisir shemishpatech pina oivayich. Your enemies will go away as long as we can get rid of the corrupt judges. Okay. Amar Rav Yochanan Mirisa Dorshim Ismai Vaholech. If you see the population dwindling, chake lo. So once again, that's a simon, that's a sign that Mashiach is coming. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Ve'es am ani toshia. Once the nation becomes impoverished, and the Gemara is understanding this in terms of our actual numbers, so then Mashiach is going to come. Amar Rav Yochanan Mirisa Dorshim Tzaros Rabos Baos Alav Ken Nahar. If the troubles of the Jewish people are like flowing like the river, Chakelo, once again, a sign that Mashiach is coming. Shenemar ki avokin artzar, ruach Hashem nosusa bo. Usmichle, and then, immediately following, in this psukim in Yeshayahu, uva letzion goel, the goel is going to come. Am Rav Yochanan ein ben David ba, ela bedor shekulo zakai. Kulo chayav. So when the generation which Mashiach is going to come, so we're going to be dealing in extremities. We're going to deal in extremes. Either people are going to be either all liable or all virtuous.
Does the first part of Ruach go by
here? You can ask me. It's for sure a fair question. So but my answer would be, at best, a guess. At best. So, B'dor shekulo zakai dechsiv amech kulam tzadikim lalam yirshu aretz. Right, this pasuk, this pasuk from Yeshayahu, we already quoted in the beginning of the perek, and bedor shekulo chayev dechsev ayar ki ein ish v'ishtomem ki ein mavgia, nobody's worthy uksiv lemani aseh. And but meanwhile, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, no one's worthy. I'll bring Mashiach lema'ani for my sake. Amar Rabbi Alexandri, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Rami. The pasuk in Yeshayahu, we're familiar with this pasuk in Yeshayahu. It's a haftorah. Don't ask me which one. If Stuart were here, he would know. So anyway, but uksiv beitah uksiv achishena. Right, the end of the 60th chapter of Yeshayahu, it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring it beitah ani Hashem beitah achishena. So I'm going to bring it at its time, but I'm going to hurry it up. So obviously, what does that indicate to us? Confusion. Yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring about the Geula in its right time, and is also going to, he's going to hurry it up. Well, if there's a time, so how are you going to hurry it up? So the Gemara notes it's a stira. Ksiva achishena zachu achishena lo zachu biita. So if we're zoche, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to hurry it up, and meanwhile, if we're not zoche biita, it's going to come at a time. I'm Rabbi Alexandria, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Rami Ksiv. One pasuk says, "Va'aru am anein ishmai kavar inish ase." The Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to come quickly, meaning just like the clouds. The clouds move fast. Uksiv ani v'rochev al chamor. And then the pasuk in Zechariah, which everyone seems to know, right? This is I would say more famous one. Is the visualization description of Mashiach coming is that he's coming in on a donkey. So in other words, just kind of like, you know, sauntering in slow, right? You ever go on a donkey ride? So you know those animals are not quick animals. So zachu am anane shemaya lo zachu ani erochev al chamor. So once again, it's all going to be a function of us. If we're zocha, so fast like the clouds. If we're not zocha, okay, sauntering in on the donkey. Am leshvamaka leshmuel am risa mashiach al chamrei asa. So Shvamaka says to Shmuel, you know, I caught word of this idea that your Mashiach is coming in on a donkey. So Ishle Susya Barkai Dishle. Now as Rashi points out, Shmuel Malka is mocking Shmuel. And he says, you need a horse? No problem at all. I'll sponsor the horse. like what, donkey? I'll get you a horse. But as Rashi points out over here, this is Shmuel Malka. He's poking fun at Shmuel. Like, what is this idea of donkey? So Amar Lemi Islech Barkivar Gavne. So, and what a lesson to learn from Shmuel in terms of how to respond to such statements. So you know what Shmuel says back? Well, if it's a horse, do me a favor. Make it a lot of colors, okay? I like a colorful horse. And as Rashi points out, Shmuel's not really responding to Shmuel Malka. What Shmuel's basically saying is, you know what? You want to make fun of me? Okay, I'll just, dechia b'milsa. It's just, he's just pushing him off with words. Meaning it's not a legitimate question. It doesn't deserve a legitimate answer. Okay, so you a horse? Great. You know what? Make it colorful. Okay. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Ashkech El Eliyahu. Davakaya Pischa Damarasa. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi finds Eliyahu sitting by the cave of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So, and so Amar Lei, so he says to him, Asin Olam Adase. So he asks him a simple question. Am I going to get a chelik in Olam Haba? Now, this is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi asking the question, which admittedly is very scary. In other words, why does he think he's not going to get a chelik in Olam Haba? So he doesn't explain what his concern is, but Namorah, it's a, you know, Yisod Olam, it's Tzadik. So anyway, but he's asking, now Eliyahu at the entrance of the Rashbi, the entrance of the cave of the Rashbi, is he going to get a chelik in Olam Haba? So Amar Lei Im Yirtza Adon Hazeh. So if the master wants it, so Amar of Yeshua ben Levi Shnaim Raisi and Vikol Shlosha Shemati. So he says, I saw two people there, meaning he saw both the image of Eliyahu and he saw the image of the Rashbi, but I heard three, meaning there was an extra voice. The extra voice is the Shechina that he heard. So Amar Lei. So now this is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi asking Eliyahu Hanavi, Amos asim Mashiach, when is Mashiach coming? So Amar Lei zil shayla lididei. Why are you asking me? Go ask Mashiach. Veheicha Yosef. So where can I find him? That's a fair question. So apischa, we have in the Gemara Karta. So he's at the gate. So umay simane. Okay, but how am I going to know who's Mashiach? So Yosef Beni Aniyeh Sov Lechalayim. So he's sitting amongst those people who are seriously ill. and right, the lepers, if you will. V'kulan sheru v'asire b'chazimna. Now, when they do their bandages, generally speaking, what you're going to find is that so they're going to be undressing and dressing their bandages at the same time. However, iu, but I'll tell you how you're going to find Mashiach. You're going to pick out Mashiach. Shari chad v'asir chad. So he's not undoing and doing his bandages at one time, but rather one bandage at a time. Why? Amar dilma mi ba'ina delo yakev. Because Mashiach says, look, I'm on call. And when you're on call, so you can get the phone call at any point in time, and I got to be ready to run. So if I'm totally undressed bandage-wise, so that means that if I get a call at that point in time, so then I'm going to have to put on all my bandages again, I'm going to have to run. But if I dress and undress my bandages one at a time, so I'll always be ready to hop up and get going at any point in time. May I say the obvious, by the way, even though we're mid-story? Okay, but let me just point this out. Okay, obviously these Gemaras are penetrating depths of ideas. Meaning, did Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi have the conversation with Eliyahu and the Rashbi at the entrance of the cave? And did he talk to Mashiach? The answer may be yes, the answer may be no. What the Gemara is obviously doing over here is communicating very profound ideas to us. And sometimes these ideas are recorded in stories that seemingly seem to be, you know, inflations, exaggerations, but the idea is that the Gemara is communicating very powerful ideas to us. So, also, and
when he asked the question about himself,
he said, yeah.
So it must be more than just.
Right, correct. Also, and needless to say that despite the fact that I may not be a perfect communicator of these ideas, and that's an understatement, but still, though, at least, again, like I said before, and I keep repeating, what the Gemara now is doing is at least we have the vocabulary. In other words, at least we don't understand all these ideas, but at least we have the words now, the tools, so that when the point comes where we're able to take these ideas and actually take these words, I should say, and form ideas out of them, so that will come. But right now, we're like basically learning ABCs, if you will. Azul Agabe Amrle, back to the story. So now, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi asks now when Mashiach is coming. Eliyahu says, go to the market, ask him yourself. Went to the market, finds Mashiach. Azul Agabe Amrle Shalom Alecha Rabbi Amari. So he goes over to him and he says, Shalom Alecha. So Amrle Shalom Alecha Bar Levi. And the Mashiach responds back and says, right, hello, Bar Levi. Now this is Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. He was the son of a Levi. Amrlei Leimas Asimar. So right away, small talk is now officially over. And now, when are you coming? So Amrlei Hayom. So Mashiach says to him today. Asal Gabi Eliyahu. So now, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi goes back to Eliyahu to report the conversation to Eliyahu. Amrlei, my Amrlach. So Amrlei Shamalecha Bar Levi. So in other words, as we know, there were two parts to the dialogue. There was the Shamalecha and then the Q&A. So when Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi goes back to Eliyahu, so first he reports the Shalom Alecha portion of the dialogue. Amar le iftach lech ulavuch la'amadase. So he says, oh, that wasn't just a Shalom Alecha. That was a promise that you and your father do in fact have a portion of the world to come. So that answered you question number one. Okay. In other words, if you were not part of Olam Haba, he wouldn't have extended Shalom. Shalom Hashem Hashem. So he wouldn't have extended Shalom, so you're going to receive a portion of the world to come. Okay, good. So that was response to number one. Now, what about the Q&A? So the Q&A was, when are you coming? And his response was today. And now, as Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi realized, and we're now reading about this episode hundreds of years later, right, 1,700 years later approximately, so we know it wasn't today. So Amar Leh, so Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says to Eliyahu Navi, Shikuri Kashakar B. Well, I hate to say this, but you know, Mashiach lied to me. Amar Li Hayom Asina, because he says he's coming today. V'lo'asa, and meanwhile, he didn't come today. So Amar Li Hachi Amalach. So Eliyahu says back to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, you jumped the gun. Meaning, when he said the word Hayom, he was actually quoting a pasuk. It says in the 95th parak of Tehillim, Hayom im bikolo sishma'u. Today, if you listen to my voice. So in other words, yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu can bring Mashiach at any point in time he wants. And it can even come earlier. But, like we said already a number of times today, that's only Zachu. That's only when we're Zoche. If we're Zoche, which means that we are compliant, tshuva, ma'isim tovim, so then Mashiach can come today. But if not, so then he'll come, but at a later point in time. Shalom tamidim es Rav Yosi ben Kisma, imasai ben David ba. So here we continue. We're going to go a little bit further into the Amud Beis. When is he going to come? Amos ben David ba Amar misyare ani shemitivakshu mimenios. So he says, look, I'll give you an answer, but then you're going to want to sign, and I'm not ready to divulge that. Amrulo ein anu mivakshu mimcha os. So then the students say to him, okay, we're not going to ask for a sign. Amlam lechishiyipo ashar azeh. So viyibane, viyipo, viyibane, viyipo. So three Roman downfalls, and then Mashiach is going to come. Ein maspikon levnoso asher ben David ba. And then before there is a third rebuilding, meaning after the third fall, but before the rebuilding, then Mashiach is going to come. Amar lo rabbeinu tein lanu os. Okay, so now the students said, okay, now we want a sign. Now the Rebbe knew. By the way, the Rebbe knew only up to a point. Meaning he knew his students were going to ask for a sign, but what the Rebbe didn't know is after he got a promise from the students that I'm not going to ask for a sign, so the Rebbe didn't know he was going to break the promise. Although I may be wrong about that. So maybe the Rebbe knew that as well. So Amar Lahem lo kach amartam li, she'ein atem mevakshim mimenu os. Now he says, I knew you were going to ask me for a sign. Amar lo va'af al pi kein. So now the students say, look, we know, but we're going to beg of you. Amalem im kach yafchu me ma'aras pamyas ledam v'nefchu ledam. A certain river, a certain cave, is going to, the water is going to turn to blood, and that'll be the sign. Shas p'tiraso, Rav Yosef ben Kisma, upon his death, right before his death, says, Amalem hemikuli aroni. What I want you to do is I want you to take my aron, and I want you to, when you dig my kever, dig deep into the ground and put it deep into the ground. She'ein kol dekel v'dekel she b'bavel she'ein sushel parsiyim nikshar bo. And he goes on to explain. Because in Bavel, what you're going to find is Persian horses tied to every palm tree. And v'ein lecha kol arun v'arun she'bayit yisrael she'ein sus madai ochel bo tevin. And the horses of Madai are going to be going into Eretz Yisrael. And they're going to need a trough in order to eat out of. And what the madaim are going to do is they're going to exhume bodies in order to get the coffins, so the coffins can serve as a trough. So basically, what I'm asking you to do is make sure that I'm dug deep into the ground, so therefore my coffin won't be used as a trough. I would like to offer a guess. It's a guess. That's all it is. But I'd like to offer a guess. There's a minhag in Yerushalayim that they bury without an aron. Could be, I'm guessing, it's all it is, it's just a guess. I'm guessing that this Gemara could have something to do with it. Okay.
I don't know.
It's a fair question, I just don't know.
Jerusalem today,
there's
lots of water troughs
that are made out of coffins. Right, out of coffins. Amarav ein ben David ba'ash, shetispashet malchus harisha al Yisrael tisha chadashim. So there's going to be a... The sign that that Mashiach is coming is that there's going to be 9 months of oppression. Shenemar, the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Micha, Lachem Yitanim ad Eis Yoleda Yalada. So basically, it's the same period of gestation. The Yeser Echav Yeshuvan al Bnei Yisrael, and there's going to be some sort of enemy nation that's going to oppress us for 9 straight months, and afterwards we're going to have a geula. Amar Ula Yesi. V'lo echmine. So he says, look, I'm looking forward to Mashiach coming, but I don't want to see it. So basically, Ula petitions that he does not want to be there for all of this. And again, after going through the last couple of days of Gemara, it's understood. Meaning there's much suffering that's coming. That's a precursor. And so he does not want to see it. V'chein amarava yesi v'lo achmane. So he says, look, it should come, but I do not want to see it. Rav Yosef Amar Yesi ve'aske de'isasa betula de'kufte de'chamre. So Rav Yosef takes a different position. So first of all, it's just like as I'm going through the names over here, I get to Rav Yosef. So it's interesting. He's blind. He can't literally can't see anything. So but in addition to that, so he says, look, I'm looking forward for Mashiach coming, and just the opposite. Eske de'isasa betula de'kufte de'chamre. Hopefully, I'm going to be sitting under the shade of the donkey in which Mashiach comes. So Rav Yosef takes a takes the other position, which is, I want to be there. Amalei Abai L'Rabba, my time up. So Abai says to Rabba, why? Well, in other words, why do you not want to be there? Elam Mishim Chevlo Shem Mashiach, because that doesn't have to do with the birth pangs of Mashiach, like everything we've been describing these last number of days. V'atayin the Gemara quotes the Brayso, Shalot Tamid, if it's Rabbi Lazar, Ma Yasa Adam V'Yinasa, Mechevlo Shem Mashiach, Yasek B'Torah V'Gimilas Chasadim. So the Amar, HaTorah V'Gimilas Chasadim. So basically, Abai doesn't understand his Rebbe Rabba, meaning you're steeped in Torah and Gemilas Chasadim. You have nothing to worry about, meaning you will be immune to Chevlei Mashiach. So why wouldn't you want to be there? So his answer is, yeah, Torah Gemilas Chasadim, yes, it's all true. But also there's chait, and right, we're human, we're all human. And there's chait, and I'm worried that the chait is still going to affect me, and I will be experiencing some of Chevlei HaMashiach. Kid Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, and we'll finish today with this, and the Gemara says this idea of Shema Yigrom HaChait. Right, the Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi Rami. Now there's a steer in Psukim. One pasuk says, "Ksiv hinei anochi imach v'shmatich b'chol asher teilech." Kadosh Baruch Hu promises Yaakov, "I'm with you. Do not worry." Uksiv ayira Yaakov mod v'yitzalo. And meanwhile, Yaakov was worried. Promised by Kadosh Baruch Hu that there's nothing to worry about, and Yaakov was worried. So shayam isar shem yigrom achet. So okay, and again, the idea is that yeah, with a promise, everything will be fine. But again, chait can become a barrier. Kid Tanya, the Gemara quotes another place where this idea comes about. So Ad Yavoram Chashem Zubia Rishona, Ad Yavoram Zukanisa Zubia Shnia. Meaning, we go into Eretz Yisrael twice to build the Beis Hamikdash, right? The first Commonwealth, as they say, and the second Commonwealth. Now, really, what should have been happening is Ruuyim HaYisrael Asos Lamneis Bevia Shnia Bevia Rishona. After 70 years of exile, and we go back into Eretz Yisrael to build the second Beis Hamikdash, what should it look like? It should look like the first Beis Hamikdash. Meaning, we enter into Eretz Yisrael with Nisim, the Yard Name splits, and we conquer everyone in Eretz Yisrael. It did take some time, admittedly. But in other words, we conquer, and we build the first Beis Hamikdash. And what should have happened with the second Beis Hamikdash? Same thing. And meanwhile, it wasn't the same thing. Meaning, second Beis Hamikdash was not, there was no miracles. And it was political. And the Persians gave us permission to build it. And it was nothing like the first. And it should have been. Now, why? Gemara answers three succinct words. El Shagar Machait, meaning, okay, but that's what Chait does. Chait has it where even though there was a plan and wish, the second Beis Hamikdash should have looked like the first Beis Hamikdash in terms of how it goes up, but there's Gram Chait. And so that's what happened with Yaakov. That's what happens with Rabba in terms of why he's worried about Chevlei HaMashiach. Okay, and we'll stop over here, and tomorrow we pick it up. V'chein Amar Rav Yochanan.